Piedmont. We have just enough winter to make us appreciate the hot summer. And we have just enough hot summer to make us appreciate the cold winter. And I've had just about all the appreciation I can stand with this cold weather we've been having. The company that I work for, we send people all over. And we had a couple of guys that went on a service call a couple of weeks ago, and they went to Paris. That's Paris, Texas, not Paris, France. But anyway, they were there, and they met an individual. And I know you all have heard this when they talk. You say, "You're not from around here, are you?" And that's the way this guy was. He just did not have the Texas drawl. So the guy was questioning him a little bit and talking to him. He said, "Where are you from?" And he said, "Minnesota." And he said, "Minnesota, what in the world caused you to come to Paris, Texas?" And he said, "Well, I got tired of the snow and the cold and the ice, and I loaded up everything I had, and I got ready to leave, and I tied a pair of snowshoes on top of my car. And he said, I stopped in Paris, Texas to buy gas, and a guy at the service station said, 'What in the world are those things on top of your car?' And he said, 'I know I had gone far enough.'" Let's give thanks to the Lord for our time together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the privilege that we have to gather in fellowship with like-minded believers. We would ask that you would give me the courage and the strength to deliver the message that you've laid on my heart. And we would ask that each one of us here would have an open heart to learn the message that you would have us to learn. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. I would like to tell you about the first scripture verses that I tried to memorize in the Bible. Of course, that would be the King James, no other version. And I don't remember why exactly that prompted me to try to memorize this scripture. It could have been my parents or my grandparents. It could have possibly been a Sunday school teacher or maybe even a school teacher. When I was in school, a teacher could do that. They had Bibles, they could read scripture. They could even pray without anyone bothering them or saying anything against them. As I've studied this scripture, and I have memorized it, and I had sort of forgotten it over a period of time, and I went back and refreshed my memory with it. And I would like to remind all of our young people here, especially the young people, to study your Bible daily and to talk with the Lord daily. And always try to remember that He can direct your path and help you with all of your aspects of your life. If you learn at an early age to depend on the Lord for everything, your journey through life will be filled with a peace that passeth all understanding. You may have a mountain to climb, but you will know that there is nothing that the Lord cannot help you with to get over that mountain. These verses have brought so much comfort to me over the years. In February of 2014, I was reading a devotional book that Judy had given me as a Christmas gift. And I have mentioned this book before. I really enjoyed it. It's just a wonderful devotional book. The name of it is Jesus Calling by a lady by the name of Sarah Young. And it just seemed in this book that almost every daily devotional and the verses were just so appropriate for the day. I mean, it was amazing as to how many times that happened. And I really thoroughly enjoyed it, and I highly recommend it. But as I was reading, there was a reference to a verse in the passage of Scripture that I have chose to speak on. And I read that, and I sat and I kind of meditated on that verse for a few minutes, and I decided to turn over to the passage and started to read it. And as I read it and I dwelled on the verses and began to get the idea of the picture that the author was trying to paint. And that is Psalm 23. Now, as most of you all already know, Psalm 23 is part of a trilogy. Psalm 22, 23, and 24. In Psalm 22, it's known as the Psalm of the Cross. And it declares that the Lord Jesus is the Good Shepherd. In John chapter 10, verse 11, we have the words of Jesus. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Psalm 23 is called the Song of the Old Shepherd. That's King David. The Transformation Bible says that as an old man, David looked back on his long life and saw that in spite of his sins and failures, he had been followed by goodness and unfailing love. In Psalm 23, Christ Jesus is the great shepherd. Psalm 24 is the psalm of the crown. Christ Jesus is the chief shepherd. But this message is about Psalm 23. And in Hebrews 13, 20 and 21, and I would like to turn to that. Chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. It says, Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Christ Jesus, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. We know that David wrote Psalm 23. King David, as most of us know, that he was a shepherd as a young boy, a young man. So he would know the duties of a good shepherd. So he would have the experience to be able to write such a psalm as this. But when we think of David, if you're like I am sometimes, most of the time probably, you would think about David and the sin with Bathsheba. But I do think that David was far much more than just that particular incident that happened in his life that was such a great sin, really, but God forgave him for that. As a young shepherd, one of the first statements in Scripture about David is found in 1 Samuel 16:11. If you'd like to turn there. 1 Samuel 16:11, it's about David when Saul came to anoint one of the sons of Jesse as the king of Israel. And in verse 11, it said, Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down until he come hither. So David was with his father's sheep early in his life. The next reference to that is in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 28. David's brothers were in Saul's army, and Israel was fighting against Goliath and the Philistines down in the valley. And David went down to deliver food from his father to his brothers and to the commanders of the army. In verse 28 it says, And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? Well, if you'll turn back a couple of verses in the same chapter, verse 20 says, That David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him, and he came to the trenches, and as the host went going forth to the fight and shouted in the battle. Well, David, as a good shepherd, before he left his sheep, he made sure that they were cared for. He demonstrated what a good shepherd is to do. I'm going to read Psalm 23 in the King James. It only takes 45 seconds to read it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In the Transformation Study Bible by Dr. Warren Wiersbe, he wrote it out like this. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strengths. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to His name. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for You are close beside me. Your rod and Your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of mine enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely Your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all of the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I think that was a bold statement when David made that, because he was talking about the Creator of everything, the very God of heaven. And to have the confidence to say that he is following the Lord, I think that's a bold thing to do. But David was right. God's Word says the Lord does lead and protect His followers. As we previously stated, we have the words of Jesus in John 10 and verse 11, I am the good shepherd, and the shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. This psalm is about leading, allowing God to lead you each day. Being able to turn your life over to the Lord is the best decision that a man or woman can ever make. I will not want. And in the way this is stated in the Transformation Bible, we have all that we need. Our Lord Jesus Christ is our good shepherd, has promised to provide us with all our needs. In verse 2, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. When sheep lay down in a pasture, their stomachs are full, their thirst is quenched, they're not frightened or afraid of what's going on around them, and the sheep know that the good shepherd is standing watch. He has found a resting place for his sheep. We have our resting place in our Lord Christ Jesus. He has said he will never leave nor forsake us. Verse 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. When we spend time in God's Word, when we spend time alone with God in prayer, both asking of God and receiving from God by listening for his voice as he speaks to us, our souls are fed. Our spirits are refreshed and lifted up. In this way, we will know more of His will for our lives. For His name's sake, we should strive to be more like Him. When Jesus was walking on the earth with His disciples, they shared a very close personal relationship with Him. In daily contact, watching, listening, walking, talking with the man, Christ Jesus, the very God and Creator of all things. Hearing the words of God, witnessing the miracles that He did, seeing the reactions of the people toward God's Son. As we read about the disciples after Jesus returned back to heaven, we have a picture of them. They were preaching, teaching, healing, and showing compassion toward their fellow men, just as Jesus had taught them to do. And we can enter into this same relationship by reading and studying God's Word, being in prayer, watching what God is doing around us, and being ready to be a part of this if he should lead us to go in that direction. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. When we are born, we start to walk in this valley. For some, the journey is long, and for others, it's short. I have been close to the end of that valley, and to be honest, I don't recall being afraid. I have heard others say that they felt fear. I do not remember feeling that way. As Christians, we can take God at His word. I will never leave nor forsake you. As a shepherd, God's rod represents His strength, His staff represents His guidance, and it is showing that we have found comfort through Him in all things. In Isaiah chapter 40, verses 10 and 11, if you could turn there with me, please. Isaiah 40, verses 10 and 11. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work before Him. Verse 11. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lamb in His arms and carry them in His bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. And in 2 Samuel, verse 22, if you would please turn there for me. This chapter is titled as David's Song of Deliverance. And in verse 22, in chapter 22, verses 31, 32, and 33. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in Him. For who is God, save the Lord? And who is a rock, save our God? Verse 33. God is my strength and power, and He maketh my way perfect. The power that is being talked about in these verses, the power of God's Word, I've had an opportunity in my life to see that power demonstrated. I was in the hospital in 1989 with my first back surgery, and Judy's mother was brought into the emergency room having a heart attack, and things didn't go well. She ended up having a stroke, and it did a lot of damage. And they had her in the intensive care there at Cone Hospital. And Jean was a very godly woman. She was the one that got me back on the right path to the Lord when I first met her. I was living in an apartment up over her and her husband. And she come up to me one day and she handed me a Schofield, still in the box. Didn't really know. I mean, she knew my name, but that's about it. She said, I thought you might like to have this. But she was there in the hospital, and she was literally fighting death. Her body was having convulsions. It was having seizures. It was totally just all about the bed. The doctors and the nurses had tried to calm her down. Nothing they did would work. Some of you know who I'm talking about. Was a commended worker from Shannon Hills, Larry Batts. He came up to visit. Judy was there in the room with her. And he kind of surveyed the situation. And he leaned over to Jean and he started whispering in her ear. And Judy was able to hear what he was saying. And he whispered the 23rd Psalm. And in just a matter of moments, her body calmed down. She completely settled down. There was no more violence, no more seizures of any kind. The doctors and the nurses couldn't believe it. And about 10 or so days later, her heart stopped beating. But she was already home with the Lord. In 2001, as most of y'all know, I had a heart attack. And I spent several days in the hospital. And they did an open heart surgery. My mother was brought down, and Judy and other family members were there with me. And on Friday morning, they took me in for open heart surgery, and it was a long day. And they brought me out to the ICU, the intensive care cardiac ICU, where they have one nurse and one patient. And I was there in that room. And the doctors were telling family that it's just a matter of wait and see now. We don't know how his body's going to react. Well, my mother was there, and she was pretty much upset, but my mom was a real strong Christian. And she said to the family, she said, "I need a Bible." So they found her one, and she turned to Psalm 23 and read it. The nurse that was there, he said, "You know, I haven't heard that in a long time. I really appreciate you doing that." And she turned to the family and she said, "It's going to be okay." And it's okay. I don't know what else to say. But that's been my personal experience with the power of just, it only takes, as I said earlier, it only takes 45 seconds to read the 23rd Psalm. But the power that is within that Psalm, it is just so tremendous. Verse 5 is probably my favorite verse in this psalm. It says, "Thou preparest a table before me." When I think of a table, three different ones come to mind. There's the table that a sheep herder would know, and it is a raised area of ground that typically will be somewhat above the terrain. It's usually kind of flat on top. And there will be grass and pasture up there. And a shepherd would lead their sheep up to that area, and they could graze, and they could lay down and rest, as it was in the second verse. And the shepherd would have an advantage, as he could see if there were approaching predators or thieves, perhaps, or even a storm coming up. He would have more time to prepare to get his flock and move it to safety by being there. That's the first table. The second table that I thought about is the table that we have in our home. We gather around that table with the people that we love for a meal, to share in fellowship. It's a place where lots of good decisions and friendships are made. It's a table that we can enjoy. We gather here at Reedsville Bible Chapel. In fellowship, when we have our, as Dave just announced a few minutes ago, of our first Sunday of the month, when we gather and we have our fellowship meal. And we enjoy it. And we fellowship together. The third table is the one that we as believers gather around to remember our Lord and Savior each week. We share our fellowship, our love, our adoration, thoughts of worship, praise, and prayers. This table is the most important one that we gather around. I look forward each week to the time when I have the privilege to come and enter into the feast that the Lord has put before us, the bread and the cup. It provides food for our spirits, souls, and our bodies. The coming aside, leaving the world outside, we have time to think on the Lord and all of His goodness while we remember what it cost God for Him to allow His Son to become a man, to suffer, and to die for the sheep of His pasture. Thou anointest my head with oil. The oil is an outward display of dedication. In the Old Testament, the priests were anointed with oil before they could serve in the temple. And this is a reference to the Holy Spirit. I think at times, and I know I'm guilty of this, neglect the Holy Spirit in our worship. We talk about the Father and the Son in unison, and we don't mention the Holy Spirit. I personally feel that the Holy Spirit is just as important as the part of the Trinity. And we need to try to remember and to work and to keep it. Keep the Holy Spirit on our mind. He's the one who works within us every day. He's the one who tells us in our hearts what we need. He's the one who guides me as far as putting this message together. This message took a long time. I started reading about this in February of 2014. Not knowing it, and I kept coming back to it. It seemed like every time I would pick up, during the week when I would pick up my Bible, there would be something that would say, I need to go back and read the 23rd Psalm. And I had a notepad and a pencil, and I would have thoughts, and I would make notes and jot them down and go on. And it just kept page after page, kept getting more and more. And then when I was asked if I would come and speak this Wednesday night, I knew why the Lord had put this on my heart. He had been preparing me for this and leading and guiding and showing me how. He knew I was weak. He knew I needed all I could get. And the Holy Spirit was the one that was leading and guiding me to do that. The oil. Thou anointest my head with oil. Kings were anointed with oil as a sign of their outward sign that they had been chosen by God. Samuel, as we read earlier about anointing David, and he anointed Saul for him to be the king. Our Lord Jesus Christ was anointed for his death by the woman with the expensive oils, as seen in John 12, 1 through 7. Josiah, would you read that for us, please? Stand up and read it nice and loud so everyone can hear.